All right, so today we're gonna shrink down like to microscopic size
Oh, wow.
and really dive deep into the world of injection molds.
Okay.
You know those things that make all the plastic stuff we use every day?
Right.
Well, it turns out there's this whole like hidden world of surface treatments that go into these molds, and they make a bigger difference than you might think.
Yeah, it's
All
true.
right, Lee.
We're talking about a level of precision that most people never even like consider. But those tiny details are what determine whether your phone case, for example, feels smooth and luxurious or like cheap and scratchy.
Exactly. And we've got some excerpts from a technical article here
Hi.
called What Are the Most Effective Surface Treatments for Injection Molds?
Okay.
And I'm ready to uncover some seriously cool
All
insights.
right.
So the article starts off by laying out what it calls the quote, Big Four treatments:
All right.
polishing, sandblasting, electroplating,
Yeah.
and PVD titanium plating.
And each one is like a specialized tool in a mold maker's toolbox, chosen very carefully depending on what the final product needs to be.
So let's start with polishing.
Okay.
I'm kind of picturing something like sanding down a piece of wood to make it smooth,
Right.
but I'm guessing it's a lot more high tech when we're talking about molds.
You're on the right track. Imagine, using incredibly fine sandpaper. So fine that you can barely even see the grit. That's what they use to create a surface that's not just smooth, but like microscopically perfect. And this has a huge impact on both the look and the feel of the final product.
So like my phone screen, which is incredibly smooth,
Yeah.
probably went through like a serious polishing process.
Exactly.
Why go through all that trouble?
Well,
Is it purely for aesthetics?
a smooth polished surface does make a product feel more, high-end. But it's not just about looks. Polishing also reduces friction, which means the mold lasts longer. It doesn't wear down as quickly.
So it's about durability.
And it can actually improve the function of some products,
Interesting.
like those touch screens you mentioned.
Oh, so a rough surface could actually interfere with how a touch screen works?
Absolutely. Any imperfections on the surface can cause distortions or interfere with the electrical conductivity. And that's where those SPI standards come in. They define how smooth a surface needs to be for different applications.
You mean like those SPI grades I've seen mentioned sometimes?
Yes.
What do they actually tell you?
They basically tell you how fine the grit was that was used to polish the surface. Higher numbers mean a smoother finish. For example, A1 grade uses a 6,000 grit. I mean, that's like polishing with a cloud. It's so fine.
6,000 grit.
That's the kind of smoothness you need for high-end electronics.
I can't even imagine something that smooth. So, are companies always aiming for like the highest SPI grade possible?
Not necessarily.
Really?
It all comes down to balancing cost and functionality.
Okay.
Sometimes a super smooth finish is crucial,
Yeah.
but for other products, a lower SPI grade might be perfectly fine
Right.
and it will save money
That makes sense.
in the manufacturing process.
It's like you wouldn't use a diamond encrusted hammer to build a birdhouse, right?
Exactly. It's about choosing the right tool for the job. And speaking of tools, let's move on to electroplating. This one involves using electricity to deposit a thin layer of metal onto the mold.
Okay, now that sounds a little more high tech than sandpaper.
It is.
Why would you want to coat a mold in
You
metal?
got it.
Is it like giving it armor?
Electroplating essentially gives the mold a metallic shield,
Okay.
making it incredibly durable. Think of it like this. Instead of regular steel, you're now working with a mold that has a surface of, say, super tough chromium or maybe even nickel for a smoother finish.
So it's all about making the mold tougher
Yes.
and less likely to wear down over time.
Exactly.
But I'm curious, if the goal is durability, why not always use electroplating?
Well, it's not always the most cost-effective solution. And sometimes you don't actually need that extra level of toughness. It really depends on what you're making and how many parts you need to produce. Plus, there are other treatments like PVD titanium plating that offer similar durability benefits, but use a different method.
PVD titanium plating. That one sounds intriguing.
It is.
How is that different from electroplating?
Well, while electroplating uses electrolysis,
okay,
basically, using electricity to deposit the metal.
Mm-hmm.
PVD titanium plating involves a process called physical vapor deposition.
Okay.
Imagine heating up titanium until it becomes a vapor.
Okay.
And then carefully depositing that vapor onto the mold surface.
Okay.
It creates an incredibly hard and thin layer, almost like a high-tech coating.
So it's like choosing between two different types of armor, each with its own strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
But before we move on to the more aggressive-sounding sandblasting, I'm curious about something.
Yeah.
You mentioned that electroplating can add corrosion resistance.
Yes.
Why is that so important?
Great question.
I mean, aren't these molds usually made of metal anyway?
That's true, but remember, these molds are used in a manufacturing process.
Right.
Where they're constantly being injected with molten plastic.
Okay.
Sometimes under high pressure.
Right.
And over time, even metal can be susceptible to corrosion.
Oh,
especially if you're working with certain types of plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's any moisture involved.
So electroplating acts like a barrier protecting the mold from that harsh environment, ensuring it stays in top condition for as long as possible.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a valuable treatment, especially when you're talking about high volume production, where every little bit of wear and tear adds up over time.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to sandblasting.
Okay.
The article describes it as using high-speed abrasive particles to clean and prepare the mold surface.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a bit like, well, sandblasting a building to remove old paint.
That's a good analogy.
Okay.
But on a much smaller and more precise scale, imagine tiny particles like sand or even harder materials hitting the mold surface at high speed.
Wow.
It's surprisingly effective for removing any imperfections or contaminants before applying other treatments.
So it's like prepping the mold.
You got it.
Making sure the surface is clean and ready for whatever comes next.
It's especially important for treatments like electroplating.
Okay.
Where you need a perfectly clean surface for the metal coating to adhere properly.
So sandblasting is more about creating a good foundation for other treatments.
Exactly.
Rather than creating a smooth finish itself.
In fact, sandblasting actually makes the surface rougher.
Oh, really?
Which can be beneficial for certain applications where you need a textured finish.
Interesting. But I'm guessing it's not something you'd use on every mold, right?
You're right.
I mean, blasting it with abrasive particles sounds a bit intense.
It can be.
Yeah.
Sandblasting is great for cleaning and prepping sturdy molds.
Right.
But it can be too aggressive for delicate features.
Okay.
Or softer materials.
So you wouldn't want to sandblast a mold that's designed to make
definitely not
those delicate little plastic gears inside a watch.
No, those tiny gears would be obliterated.
Yeah.
For delicate molds, you'd need to use gentler methods like chemical etching or even polishing to achieve the desired surface without damaging the mold.
Ah, so it's all about choosing the right tool for the job.
It is.
And that brings us back to those SPI and VDI standards we touched on earlier.
Yes.
I'm still a little fuzzy on how they actually work.
Okay.
Can you break it down for me?
Of course.
I think.
Think of SPI and VDI like universal languages that everyone in the industry understands.
Okay.
SPI focuses on smoothness with higher grades.
Right.
Indicating a smoother finish.
Right. Right. So if I see a product labeled with a high SPI grade, I know it's been polished to like a mirror-like finish.
Exactly. Yeah. But what about VDI?
VDI is all about texture.
Okay.
It defines different levels of roughness from super smooth to quite coarse.
Okay.
So imagine you're designing a toothbrush handle.
Right.
You wouldn't want it to be slippery.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
A little grip is essential for good brushing technique.
Exactly. So you might look for a mold with a specific VDI grade that ensures the final product has the perfect amount of texture for a good grip. Okay, I'm starting to see how these standards play a crucial role.
They do.
In making sure everything is consistent and meets the required specifications.
Precisely.
Yeah.
They ensure that everyone involved in the process.
Right.
From the designers to the manufacturers, is on the same page when it comes to surface finishes.
Okay.
And ultimately,
they
help guarantee the quality and the functionality of the final product.
This is all incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see these everyday plastic objects in a whole new light.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, wow.
We haven't even touched on how these surface treatments impact the manufacturing process itself.
Okay.
In terms of efficiency and cost effectiveness.
Oh, there's more.
There is.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me everything.
Well, let's dive a bit deeper.
Okay.
One of the key things to remember is that these surface treatments aren't just about aesthetics or durability. They can also have a huge impact on how efficiently a mold functions during the injection molding process.
I see.
So, for example, a well-polished mold surface allows the plastic to flow more smoothly during injection, which can speed up the cycle time and reduce the amount of pressure needed.
Ah, so it's like reducing friction, not just for the mold's lifespan, but also for the actual process of injecting the plastic.
It's all about optimizing efficiency.
Okay.
And on the flip side,
a
treatment like sandblasting, which creates a rougher surface, can actually be beneficial in certain cases.
Really? I wouldn't have thought a rough surface would be helpful.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make it harder for the plastic to flow?
In some cases, yes.
Okay.
But imagine you're making a product with a textured surface.
Right.
Like a non-slip grip on a tool handle.
Right. Okay.
The roughness created by sandblasting can actually help the plastic to conform to that texture more effectively.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So it's not just about making things smooth. Right. It's about creating the right surface.
Exactly.
For the specific application.
Precisely. And that's where the expertise of, you know, mold designers and manufacturers comes in.
Right.
They need to consider all these factors, the material, the product design, the desired surface finish.
Right.
And then choose the right combination of treatments.
Right.
To achieve the best results.
It sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
I'm starting to understand why these surface treatments are considered like a hidden world of engineering.
Right.
But I'm curious when it comes to choosing between different treatments. Is it always like a clear-cut decision?
That's a great question. And are there ever times when multiple treatments might be used in the same mold? The answer is absolutely.
Whoa, really?
In fact, it's quite common to use multiple treatments on a single mold to achieve very specific results.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Let's say you're making a high-end cosmetic compact.
Okay.
The outer casing might be made of a sleek, polished plastic.
Right.
But the hinges and the clasps might need to be extra durable.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So you might polish the mold for the outer casing to get that smooth, luxurious finish.
Right.
But for the hinges and clasps,
you might use electroplating.
Okay.
To add an extra layer of protection against wear and tear.
Okay, so it's all about combining different treatments strategically to get the best of both worlds.
That's fascinating.
Like a multi-layered process, almost like painting a masterpiece.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It really captures the essence of what mold designers and manufacturers are doing.
Right.
They're using their knowledge of materials and processes to create these intricate high-precision tools that shape the products that we use every day.
It makes you appreciate those everyday objects on a whole new level, doesn't it?
It really does.
And it makes me think about that question the article poses.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you pick up a plastic object, try to guess which surface treatment might have been used in its creation. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was looking at my water bottle earlier, and now I'm wondering if it went through a sandblasting process to create that like slightly textured grip.
It's amazing how much thought and precision goes into these things that we often take for granted.
Yeah.
But now, thanks to this deep dive, we have like a newfound appreciation for all those hidden details.
Absolutely. It's like we've been given this secret decoder ring.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
For the world of plastics.
Right.
But before we wrap up, I wanted to circle back to something we touched on earlier, the limitations of sandblasting.
Yeah.
The article mentions that it's not suitable for all mold types, but it doesn't really go into detail about why.
You're right.
Yeah.
Remember, sandblasting is essentially a controlled erosion process.
Right.
You're using abrasive particles to remove material and create a specific texture.
Right. So if you're working with a delicate mold.
Exactly.
Or a material that's easily damaged.
Right.
Sandblasting could be too rough.
Imagine trying to sandblast a mold that's designed to create those tiny, intricate details on a microchip.
Yeah.
It would be like using a jackhammer to carve a statue.
Yeah.
The results wouldn't be pretty.
Oh, that's a vivid image. So for those delicate applications.
Yeah.
You need to use more precise
You don't.
and less aggressive treatments.
Precisely. Things like chemical etching,
Mm-hmm.
which uses acids to remove material in a
Right.
very controlled manner,
Okay.
or even specialized polishing techniques
Yeah.
that can smooth out surfaces
Right.
without damaging fragile features.
It's amazing how much nuance there is.
There is to this whole process.
Yes.
It's not just about blasting things with sand
Oh,
or
yeah.
polishing them to a shine. It's about understanding
It is.
the properties of the material
Yes.
and choosing the right approach for
Exactly.
each specific situation.
It's true. And that's why it's so important for
Right.
mold designers and manufacturers
Yeah.
to stay up to date on the latest technologies and techniques.
Okay.
The field is constantly evolving,
Yeah.
with new materials and treatments being developed all the
It
time.
sounds like there's always something new to learn.
There is.
But with all these advancements, I'm curious,
Yeah.
what about the environmental impact of these surface treatments? Is there a push towards more
Yes.
sustainable solutions in this industry?
That's a fantastic question. And
Okay.
it's definitely a growing area of focus as
Wow.
we become more aware of the need to reduce our environmental footprint.
Right.
Manufacturers are looking for ways. Yeah.
To make these processes more eco-friendly.
So, what kind of innovations are we seeing?
Wow.
Are there any alternative treatments being
Yeah.
developed that are less harmful to the environment?
There are some exciting developments happening.
Okay.
One area of research is in the development of biodegradable and non-toxic plating solutions
Okay.
for electroplating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Traditional electroplating solutions
Yeah.
can contain some pretty harsh chemicals.
Right. So finding alternatives that are safer
Yeah.
for both the environment and the workers involved is a huge win.
Absolutely. And there's also a lot of work being done on developing more durable
Right.
and longer lasting coatings.
Oh, that makes sense. A coating that lasts longer
Yes.
means fewer
That makes
replacements,
me
which
happy.
translates to less waste
Right. Okay.
and fewer resources used overall.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then there's the concept of closed loop systems
Yeah.
in mold manufacturing.
Right.
Yeah. We talked about it being like a mini ecosystem
It is.
within the factory.
Right.
It sounds incredibly efficient,
It is.
but is it really feasible on a large scale?
It definitely presents some challenges,
Okay.
but we're seeing more and more companies adopting
Okay.
closed-loop practices, and the results are promising.
Okay.
It requires a shift in mindset,
Right.
thinking about waste,
Yeah.
not as something to be disposed of, but as
Yeah.
a valuable resource
Yeah.
to be recovered and reused.
I like that, seeing waste as a resource.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reframing of the whole concept.
It is.
But with all these advancements in sustainable treatments,
Yes.
I'm curious, do those SPI and VDI standards we talked about
Ah, good question.
take sustainability into account?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Traditionally, those standards have
Yeah.
focused primarily on quality and performance,
Right.
but there's a growing movement
Right.
to
Yeah.
incorporate sustainability metrics as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So, what kind of sustainability criteria?
Well, for example, they
Okay.
might set limits
Okay.
on the acceptable levels of
Yeah.
chemical emissions
Right.
from the treatment processes.
Okay.
Or they might incentivize the use of recycled materials
Right.
in the coatings themselves.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's like those standards are evolving
They are.
to reflect a more holistic view
Exactly.
of manufacturing,
Right.
taking into account
Yes.
not just the quality of the product, but also its environmental impact.
Exactly. And this evolution is being
Oh,
driven
yeah.
by a growing awareness that sustainability is no longer just a nice to have,
Right.
but a necessity
Yeah.
for any
We'll
industry
like
that
that.
wants to thrive in the long term.
It's a powerful reminder that every decision we make,
It is.
from the products we buy to the processes we use,
Yes.
has an impact on the world around us.
It does.
And it's up to all of us consumers, manufacturers, designers, to make choices that
Exactly.
support a more sustainable future.
Well said.
Yeah.
And I think our deep dive into the world of mold surface treatments has highlighted
Wow.
how innovation and sustainability can go hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's not about sacrificing quality or performance.
Right.
It's about finding smarter,
Yeah.
more efficient ways to create the products that we need
Right.
while minimizing our impact on the planet.
I couldn't agree more.
Good.
It's been an incredible journey,
It has.
Exploring this hidden world of engineering
Yes.
and discovering
Right.
the incredible level of detail and precision that goes into making the
Yeah.
plastic objects we use every day.
And I hope our listener has
Yeah.
gained a newfound appreciation
Right.
for the ingenuity and craftsmanship
Yeah.
behind these seemingly simple objects.
The next time you pick up a plastic item,
Yeah.
take a moment to consider the journey it's been on, the materials, the processes, the people who made it possible. It's a story of innovation,
It is.
problem solving, and
Right.
increasingly a commitment
Right.
to creating a more sustainable future.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure
Oh, quite.
exploring this topic with you.
And to our listener, thank
Yes.
you for joining us
Yes,
on
thanks.
this deep dive.
We appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed the journey and learned something new along the way. Okay, so we're back, ready to like really dig into this
Got
whole
it.
exciting frontier of sustainable surface treatments.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area.
It's amazing to think that even in like a field as technical as mold making,
Right.
there's this growing focus on eco-friendly solutions.
It really highlights how sustainability is, becoming a core value across pretty much all industries these days.
Right. It's not just a niche thing
Yeah,
anymore.
no, not at all.
And when it comes to mold surface treatment specifically,
Right.
there's a lot of what did you call it? Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, low-hanging fruit, so to speak.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What kind of low-hanging fruit are we talking about?
Well, one area where we're seeing a lot of progress is in reducing the use of harsh chemicals, especially in processes like electroplating.
We talked earlier about how like those electroplating solutions
Oh,
can
yeah.
be like pretty
They
nasty.
can be pretty nasty, yeah.
So what are the alternatives?
Well, researchers are developing biodegradable plating solutions that are much gentler on the environment.
That's
They're also exploring, non-toxic alternatives that reduce the risks for workers who are handling these chemicals.
That's fantastic. It's like a win-win for
Right.
both the planet and the people working in these factories.
Absolutely.
But aside from the chemicals themselves, are there other ways to make these treatments more sustainable?
Absolutely. Think about like the coatings themselves. If you can develop a coating that's more durable and lasts longer, you automatically reduce the need for frequent recoating.
Which saves resources and
Excellent.
reduces waste.
Exactly.
So it's not just about what the coating is made of, it's also how long it lasts.
It is about both of those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other areas where we're seeing like.
There's a growing interest in closed loop systems, which we touched on earlier. But you know
The
those
mini ecosystem.
within the factory.
This involves capturing and reusing
Yeah.
materials and chemicals within the manufacturing process itself.
It sounds incredibly efficient,
It is.
but is it really feasible on a large scale?
It definitely presents some challenges, but we're
Yes.
seeing more and more companies
Okay.
adopting closed loop practices.
And the results are promising.
So it's like it can be done.
It can be done. It's
So this is,
just a matter of,
it takes effort.
it does require a shift in mindset, thinking about waste, not as something to be disposed of, but as a valuable resource to be recovered and reused.
I like that seeing waste as a resource. It's a
Yeah.
powerful reframing of the whole concept.
It really is.
But with all these advancements in sustainable treatments,
Yeah.
I'm curious, do those SPI and VDI standards we talked about
Right.
take sustainability into account?
That's a great question. Traditionally, those standards have focused primarily on quality and performance, but there's a growing movement to incorporate sustainability metrics as
Got it.
well.
Because they're evolving.
They are.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So what kind of sustainability criteria?
Well, for example, they might set limits on the acceptable levels.
Of chemical emissions
That's right.
from the treatment processes.
That makes sense.
Or they might incentivize the use of recycled
All
materials
right.
in the coatings themselves.
Okay, so they're really taking
They're taking a more holistic
a
view.
more comprehensive view of the whole
Absolutely.
manufacturing process and say those standards are evolving
We are.
to reflect a more holistic view of manufacturing,
Exactly.
taking into account not just the quality of the product, but also like its environmental impact.
And this evolution is being driven by a growing awareness that sustainability is no longer just a nice to have, but a necessity for any industry that wants to thrive.
Right. Long term.
In the long term.
It's a powerful reminder that every decision we make
is
from the products we buy to the processes we use has an impact on the world around us.
It really does.
And it's up to all of us.
Yes.
Consumers, manufacturers, designers.
All of us.
To make choices that support a more sustainable future.
Well said.
And I think our deep dive into this world of mold surface treatments has highlighted how innovation and sustainability can go hand in hand.
You can.
It's not about like sacrificing quality or performance.
It's not about sacrificing at all.
It's about like finding smarter, more efficient ways to create the products that we need while minimizing our impact on the planet.
I couldn't agree more.
It's been an incredible journey.
It has.
Exploring this like hidden world of engineering.
It's fascinating.
And discovering the incredible level of detail and precision that goes into making the plastic objects we use every day.
And I hope our listener has gained a newfound appreciation for the ingenuity and craftsmanship behind these seemingly simple objects.
The next time you pick up a plastic item,
take a moment to consider the journey it's been on.
I like that.
The materials, the processes, the people who made it possible.
It is quite a journey when you think about it.
It's a story of innovation.
It is.
Problem solving.
Yes.
And, you know, increasingly a commitment to creating a more sustainable future.
Well, Ted.
So let's all do our part to, you know, support companies that are making these efforts and make conscious choices that align with our values.
I agree.
It's been a pleasure exploring this topic with you.
Likewise.
And to our listener, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed it.
We hope you learned something.
And we'll catch you next time.